Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
How many know when God's trying to get your attention? Anyone get a loud, audible voice? Anyone get a discomfort in their backside? I just know that God is talking to me when I get a key word coming into my mind all the time. Or whether I read a devotion and that word comes up, or I read a book and the same theme is there, or I'm just in everyday conversation and I'm listening to somebody and in a meeting and someone talks to me and or says something from the platform or from the meeting, and again it just resonates. And that's what's been happening to me over recent months. I've been thinking, meditating, in devotions on, listening to the whole word called blessings. Now, I know last time I spoke a pretty heavy word out of Jude. Well, this one's a little bit of a nice word in the sense that it gives you something good to go and do something with. As I reflected on this word blessing, I realised it's not a subject that I've spoken on very often from the platform. And I thought about that. God, why isn't that we speak about blessing from the platform? And for me, it probably is a throwback to the blab it, grab it days back in the 90s, and that might not be for many of you, but that was the days when you used to blab and grab something into existence, and the whole faith message was there, and it was all about blessing, it was all about making us feel good, and if you didn't have blessing, if you didn't have that, then your faith wasn't strong enough, and you were sinning, you were doing something wrong. And so, as is always the case, if Satan doesn't like a word or like a subject, then he'll take it into extreme to try and stop us from going anywhere near it. And I think that's what's happened probably in my life, that I know God's blessing, I recognize God's blessing, I praise God for God's blessing, I acknowledge it in so many aspects of my life, but I don't want to be a blab it, grab it preacher. And so I haven't talked about it as much as I should, but we're going to address that today. There's some keys that we need to understand about blessing. To be blessed, thanks, Jono. To be blessed means to be chosen, to be favoured, to be deeply loved by God, who seeks every way to bless us and to use us to bless others. To freely take all that I've been given and use it to bless others. And we'll see that in a minute. To be a blessed person means to know, to feel, to relish God's affirmation, God's assurance, God's acceptance, God's approval. Blessed people know that they are chosen, they are cherished, and they are valued. And believe it or not, we are all blessed. And then to be a blessing means to spread or to share the power of God's goodness and favour that has been poured into your life or my life. So to bless others is the right way to live. It's the right perspective on life. And believe it or not, you'll see as we go through this morning, it is one of the purposes behind the reason God showers his blessing on us. Right throughout Scripture, we will find that it's God's desire to pour multiple blessings into our lives. And the reason, or one of the reasons for this, is found in Genesis 12:2. Then I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you'll exemplify divine blessing. I will make. I'll perform a special work within you. I'll fashion you. I'll create and prepare for you what God has in store for what you've got. Or I will bless you. Our sovereign God sets a course, a purpose, a destiny to bless us. No one can stop it. No one can turn it around because he is a sovereign God. And then in Genesis 2, it goes on to say he'll make our name great. That means to be exalted, to be honoured, to have high status, to be enlarged both in magnitude and extent, riches, power, influence, to value us highly. And then, ultimately, to bless others from God through us. The source isn't us. The source is God's storehouse. It's God's ability, desiring to bless others through us so that they will come to know him. If you think about that, that's the Great Commission being outworked in our lives. Not all of us are evangelists. Not all of us have that ability to be able to go and talk to anybody at any time and find that they bow their knee and come to know Christ. It's one of the things I've been really being thrilled and encouraged by when Serge talks and when Serge shares some of his testimonies. You know, it just seems that every time he talks to them, they acknowledge and honour Jesus. Now, wow, what a gift. What a gift. And it is a gift. And some have the gift of evangelism. Not everybody, some do. Billy Graham has the gift of evangelism. But for us mere mortals like me, we have the gift of evangelism in a different way. In the basis that the way we live our lives, the way we outwork our lives, what people see in us encourages and touches them. In Acts 2:47, and we've used this scripture many times over the years, people in general like what they saw. And every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. We've talked about this. We've talked about the bioticness of this. You know, if we would just live our lives in a way that people look at us and see, hey, you've got something that I haven't got, and I want that. I became a Christian because of that. I was in a room, and I looked into people's eyes, and they had peace that I didn't have. They had something happening in their lives that I didn't have. And I said, God, what they've got, I want, and I'll give my life to you. It wasn't any fanfare. It wasn't just as I am and come down the front. It was, God, I will give my life to you if I can have what they've got. And sometimes that's what it's all about. And so when we bless others, we are biotically doing that. It might be that we're not there face to face. It might be that we're just praying for them. Or we're overshadowing them with God. But that's what's happening. The unfortunate part, because of wrong teaching, many Christians believe that if you want a blessing, you have to do something to get it. And that was one of the unfortunate parts about the blab it, grab it message. The more you give, the more God's going to give you, because that's how it works. Unfortunately, I think that's legalism. I think that's putting God in a box. I think that's making God a formula. Let me make it very clear so that we don't get off on the wrong track. God is not in the deal-making program. God is not a formula-driven God. God is a sovereign God. And God will do what God will do. God is merciful. God is good. God is just. And the plain truth is that God just wants to bless us. It's his nature to shower us with blessing, far and beyond our ability to contain it. And we'll see soon that part of the deal is that we have to receive it. We have to be ready to receive it. And some of us think that we've been so naughty or we've got guilt and shame in our lives that we can't receive God's blessing because we need to be punished. That's not how God sees it. Because as Matt has so well led us through communion today, part of the deal is that God's Son took upon himself our punishment, that God might restore back to us everything that he desired us to have originally. So let's quickly have a look at the word bless, blessing, blessed in the Bible. You know, the word for bless or blessing or blessed is used 400 times in the Old Testament alone, 98 times in Psalms. I love reading the Psalms. I love reading how David says it. God's desire to bless first shows up at creation when he blesses every living and moving thing. In Genesis 1:21, so God created great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems and every winged bird, and God saw that it was good and God blessed them. Then God created Adam and Eve, and the very first thing he did was to then bless them. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And if you're a greenie today, that's my greenie scripture for you. We have dominion over the animals, even cats. All those in favour? And dogs. He then goes on to say that on the seventh day, God rests, but not before he blesses it. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. You know, for another sermon, it'd be good to talk about that. In blessing the seventh day, I believe God is blessing us, his race, his human race, be able to experience what rest is all about. And I think, unfortunately, we've lost sight of that as well. Then after the flood, the Bible goes on to tell us that God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. So God loves to bless. He creates human beings in his image to be both receivers and givers of blessing. This becomes a lot clearer when God talks to Adam and says in Genesis 12:2, scripture we've already read, I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make you a great name, and you will be a blessing. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. You notice it's all the people? All the people on earth will be blessed because of us. You ever hopped in a plane and felt that the people in the plane with you are lucky that you're in the plane with them? I often feel that. Unfortunately, due to our sinful nature, it hasn't always worked like that. Instead of passing the blessing on, we've tended to think, how can I enhance my blessing? Selfishness seems to get in the road. We start to feel rather than passing the blessing on, we should accumulate a little bit more for ourselves. And this often happens in material blessings. No, that's mine. No, unfortunately, it's not yours. It's God's, because God is the owner of all. And if God has blessed it with you and God wants you to pass it on, then you better be obedient. But the more you pass it on, I'll guarantee you, the more it comes back in. Remember, accumulating blessing is not God's plan. Passing it on is God's plan. Amen. As we move on through the Bible, we see God blessed Isaac, then he blessed Jacob. And then we read in Numbers 6, God explained to Moses how to release the entire blessing of heaven upon the children of Israel. In Numbers 6, 22 to 27, it says this, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. How many people have heard that at the end of a sermon or at the end of something? That's where it comes from, okay? And it's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to say. And again, unfortunately, a lot of these things have been said and are said, but then they become a liturgy, they become a legalism, they become something we just say without meaning. Yet when we say this, this is what God is really wanting us to do. Might be in a different form, it might be in a different way, it might be have different words, but God is wanting us to bless others, to bless people. Why does God want to bless us? So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And then we move into the New Testament, and we find Jesus begins his earthly ministry and his first series of sermons was a series of blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I saw a great sign in the city square one day that says the meek don't want it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus started his ministry by blessing. But then, as we continue through the life of Jesus, we see in Mark 10 that not only did Jesus preach blessing, he practiced it as the children were brought to him. And then the last picture we have of Jesus as he's being lifted up into heaven is that of him blessing his disciples. So if you think about it, and that's just a really quick summary, I've got pages and pages and pages of blessing scriptures that I downloaded and I've been reading because they're so rich. Being blessed and blessing others must be something significant in God's economy. If it was one of his first acts after creation, if it's been passed down through generations to the place where we find Jesus speaking of it in his first sermon, and then finally being Jesus' last words before he turned to his Father, maybe there's a pattern there, a pattern that we should be following, that we should be displaying, that we should be outworking ourselves. And so let's look quickly at just two things today. John, where are you? He's not here. Gee whiz. The first key is to learn to joyfully receive and acknowledge all the blessings God gives us. And then the second key is to learn how to pass it on. Pass it on physically. And again, we're not going to look at that today. We don't need to look at that. I think we all know the principle of generosity and giving. But we do need to learn how to do it verbally, because verbal blessing is such a powerful thing, as I've found as I've read the scriptures. So let's look at the first key. First thing we must do is to look for, to acknowledge, to embrace, to celebrate God's blessing in our lives. Because unless you can acknowledge, unless you can celebrate, unless you can see God's blessing in your life, it's pretty hard to pass it on. We must come to see ourselves as richly blessed by God. When Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount, I don't think it was an accident. I think that part of it was to refocus those who he was speaking to get them to see that in their life circumstances, no matter what they were blessed. We are blessed people. Jesus told them about their blessing, not because it's good to mourn or to be poor, but because he wanted them to know that through him, they had available abundant life. They had life to the full. We know that from my favorite scripture, John 10:10. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it to the full. We have God's love. We have God's favor. We have his presence in us and through us. I wonder how many of us actually go through life unaware of how blessed we are. Have you ever stopped to think about your blessing? In Jesus' day, it said that every devout Jew would begin and end the day in prayer. They prayed a prayer called the Amidah, or the standing prayer. Sometimes it's called the 18, meaning 18 benedictions or 18 blessings. The purpose of this prayer was to start each day and to end each day, remembering all the ways that God had blessed their lives, and in return for them to bless God. Now, I'm not going to get Andy to get up and sing it for us, but there is an old song that I learnt back in the Methodist days, a beautiful hymn. It was called Count Your Blessings, Count Them One by One. And thank you, Gene. I recognize that you come from the same era as me now. You know, there are old words, but when you read the words, when you look at the words, you'll realize that there's an incredible truth in this beautiful hymn. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Then the refrain was, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Verses go on and say, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, wealth can never buy. Your reward is in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. So we need to count our blessings. We need to recognize, acknowledge. We need to start to consider all the blessings. Sometimes I think the more blessings we have, and we do have so many material blessings, especially in this incredible country, the less grateful we feel. And it's only as we stop, and it's only as we start to acknowledge, write them down, think about them, pray them, as the Jewish prayer was all about, the more we start to recognize. Blessings are from God. They are an entitlement because God wants to do it, but they should not be seen as an entitlement in the way we feel about them. Would you count your many blessings? Would you develop a blessing detector? Start to live in gratitude. Start to speak words of gratitude. Start to announce and pronounce outwardly and inwardly the incredible blessing that God has given you. And so, having done this, the next step is to joyfully, and I mean joyfully, give all the blessings you can. And again, that does mean physical as well as verbal. That does mean out of whatever God has blessed us with. But let's concentrate on the verbal. It's in this area that I feel really excited. It's in this area that God has been showing me the potential of seeing others come to know him, seeing lives impacted, seeing people's situations and circumstances change. Remember Genesis 12:2, I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. Because of what God is doing in us, people can be blessed. As I said at the start, the blessing or the concept of blessing begins with God in us. But then he wants us to pass it on. So how? How do we pass on the blessing? Now again, remember I'm talking the verbal, not the physical. I think, again, Scripture showed us simply how to do it. Same way that God, through Moses, told Aaron, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, now remember it says Aaron and his sons. Remember they were the priests. That's important for later on. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Just say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. As we walk through the Bible again, we can see this principle of speaking blessing right through Scripture. In Luke 10, Jesus sent his disciples out. And when he told them to go out to minister, he said, If a city receives you, then pray a blessing over that town. Now, he didn't say if they don't receive you, pray a cursing. He said if a city doesn't receive you, just wipe the dust off your feet. Don't let that bad experience hang on. But if they receive you, then pray a blessing. If you go into a home and you're blessed, then pray a blessing in that home. Out of your goodness, out of what God has given you, pass it on. In Matthew 6, and I've heard people say we should never bless those that aren't Christians. I don't find that in Scripture. Because Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." In fact, I like that scripture, because when you pray a blessing on somebody who's cursing, you're heaping them like you wouldn't believe. Finally, they might have to smile or even say something nice about you. You know, what we're really doing when we do this is we are manifesting God's character in the communities we live. Remember I talked a minute ago about Aaron and the priests? In 1 Peter 2:9 it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him, that you might speak out his blessings, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You know, we are a royal priesthood. And therefore, like Aaron, we are carrying the presence of God. We are his representative. We are ministering on his behalf by speaking, by pronouncing, by releasing, by invoking his blessing into lives around us. You know, I am going to challenge you at the end of this message to start speaking blessings over people. And I'd like you to get a little book, and I'd like you to start to write down the changes that you see as you speak those blessings, as you see the outworking of what you are invoking into their lives. There's a book that I've been reading. Again, it's one of those God moments. About 4 or 5 months ago, somebody spoke of this book, and I just wrote it down and thought, I'll get that book. Finally, I downloaded it on my Kindle, and then again, at a recent meeting, somebody spoke about it again, and I thought, man, I've got that book. I should read it. And it's a book called Grace Outpouring. It's called Blessing Others Through Prayer. It's about a Christian conference center in Wales, deep into the mountains of Wales, in a very isolated farming rural community. And this guy was led to go there and to raise up this Christian community. He was a rich man and he had an incredible job, and it was as if God had banished him to the uttermost parts of the earth. He felt as though he had been drawn away. But then as God finally spoke to him, and as he started to say, "Well, God, you've got me here. What do you want me to do?" He says, "I want you to bless people." And he said, "Well, okay, God, if I'm here and you want me to bless people, then you've got to bring them here. You've got to draw them in, because this is a place that not many people would pass by." And virtually within days of praying that prayer, he had people driving past who literally said, as if their cars did a right-hand turn into the drive, and they came up to see what it was all about. And they would sit down and they would give them a cup of tea, and then they would take them through. And as they walked through and into the chapel, they would burst out crying, or something would come upon them. And he just said that he felt God would say to him, "I just want you to bless them." And so the pattern became that every time God brought someone into their midst, he would bless them. "Do you mind if I just pray a blessing over you?" And if they said no, that was okay. But if they said yes, it happened. And so he would pray a blessing over them, and the power of God would fall upon them. They would become Christians. They would start speaking in tongues. It was just an amazing outworking. And then he's discerned or felt that God said, okay, now I want you to use this community to start blessing the countryside around you. And so every day they would start off their day with a blessing over the community, over the animals, as a rural community, a farming community, over the grass, over the produce, you name it. And as he started to walk around the community after a year or so, farmers would come up and say, hey, you should see, I'm getting triplets in my sheep like you wouldn't believe. Or look at that bull. Man, I've never had a bull like that before. Things started to happen. And so it was just an amazing, amazing transformation as he not only obeyed God, but as God used that conference center, which finally became a 24/7 prayer retreat, part of the 24/7 movement, into impacting and changing the community. God has placed us here in this incredible place to be a blessing to our community. One of the words, or one of the ways to bless, it says in this book, is to use this little thing, and it is, it's a great little way. Bless, B-L-E-S-S. B stands for body. When you're praying, pray for someone's health, for their protection, for their security. And then you pray for labor, pray for their work, pray for their income, pray for their security. Pray for their emotional life, for joy, for peace, for hope to come into their being. Pray for their social situation, for their love, for their marriage, for family, for friends. And then pray for their salvation, for their faith, for their grace. A couple of the different proclamations they would say was this: I bless you in the name of the Lord, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ may rest upon you. I bless you in his name, that the Father's love might surround you and fill you, that you may know in your deepest being just how fully and completely he accepts you and rejoices over you. Or another one: I bless you in the name of Jesus, that the fullness of his peace may flood into your heart, sinking deep into every part of your being and life. I bless you that your body may be strengthened and healed so that you are free to walk in the joy of the Lord. Now, again, it's not formula driven. It's praying a prayer of blessing over a situation or circumstance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the challenge I want to leave with you this morning is to start to see the goodness and the grace and the blessing of God that we have in our lives flowing through us and into others. I challenge you to start blessing the people you work with. You know, Chris and I had a clothing factory long years ago, and it was a factory with about 45, 50 girls, worldly girls, and it was in Healesville, and I can tell you that's it was a tough area to be in, and these girls were pretty rough. And there was one lady in that factory that used to give me stick, and I mean, it wasn't nice. And so God led me to go into that factory very early every morning, and I would go around every chair. Father, I just bless Liz. I just bless Carol. I just bless. And I went around every chair and just blessed them. Do you know that that church still operates? Well, the church, the factory became a church, and it still operates today, and there's probably half a dozen people still there today who became Christians. And I believe it was just because God blessed them, God blessed them, God blessed them. Now, there was a bit of selfishness in my blessing them. I wanted more work out of them and I wanted less fighting. But it happened. Bless those who curse you. You know, our natural instinct is to want to give it back to them. Let's turn it around and let's bless them who curse us. In fact, why stop there? Why not just bless everybody that God puts our way? I think just as much as we're seeing a real move at the moment across the world in the revival of healing and normal, everyday people being used by God, to minister healing into people. And we've seen Serge talk and share with that about us, share with us on that. I think that this could be also a part of that revival, that God wants to use us, his people, to bless others. When I look at the world we're in today, I think there's a generation that is starving for a blessing. And so, I'm not telling you to do it, but I am laying a challenge down that Life Ministry Center might become a little blessing factory, a church of blessing. Why? Because you can see through Scripture that blessings from God change lives. And change lives means change communities. And change communities means change cities. And change cities means change nations. Why not start? So let me this day do what I've said and let me proclaim a blessing over you. Would you all stand, please? Sky, can we have Amazing Grace, Unfailing Love, whatever that song is, you know the one. I try to remember all the verses and all the words so I get it right. Why don't you close your eyes? And I seriously would like this to be a proclamation over you. May the Lord God Almighty, in his mercy, obliterate every word, every statement, every experience, every invisible barrier that you have constructed that is keeping you from receiving God's blessing. May the unrelenting love of God pursue you and surprise you with his compassion. May the forgiveness of Jesus Christ restore and renew your hearts. May the living waters of the Holy Spirit fill you and flow through you to the struggling and broken world around us. May God's peace rest upon you, and may the Lord fill you with his joy, and may his joy become your strength. I proclaim this in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.